Brandon, and welcome back to Apollo City Comics, your anything and everything comic book podcast. Today we have a very special guest that I'm super hyped about. Kind of a weird coming together through the community that I always talk about, and it's always through the community that we discover these people. And I'm super excited for you guys to meet this guy because we're covering a comic today. And we haven't covered a comic on Apollo. We say it every episode. We've been doing so many interviews because so much cool shit's coming out on Kickstarter. So speaking of Kickstarter, you can get ready for our Kickstarter. And out come the comics, the punk rock anthology. And that is in the link below. If you just hit that notify me on launch button, that will help, you know, spread the word about it. It'll help Kickstarter kind of get into the algorithm. Like, go visit that link. Hit that button. I know you probably have to sign up for Kickstarter and it's a bitch, but they have a Google way to sign in and you all have Gmails. It takes half a second. Just hit it. It's like two more clicks after that. Bam, you're done. And you'll know when it launches. April 25th. We'll be on Instagram Live all that day with Lesser Known Comics. So get ready for that. I'm really excited for today's episode. So much so that I had to like wake up and get prepped because it kind of goes deep diving into like some mythological, like just really crazy shit that like I read this book years ago and I didn't really get it, but now being like a wiser older adult I'm just like, oh, this makes sense. So you probably should also probably get that cup of coffee that you got from coffeeandacomic.com, and where you signed up for a pull list with Frank, who I mean honestly the pull list stuff, like, it just changed with Frank. And it threw me off for a second, but it is the easiest, most simple thing in the world. You go to fucking previews world, previews pages, previews world. You set up your pull list there. You select all the books you want, and then it just, Frank, he has it all ready for you, all organized. You just add it to your cart once it comes out, and then you check out, and you get everything you want. You don't have to like send them emails describing what you want and which issues and shit, what variants. You get to choose it yourself. Laid out in front of you on the pull list page. So go do that. Make your life easy and get bagged and boarded books with a little bag of coffee inside with some cool ass like stickers, and then he'll like follow up with you on other stuff. Ah, it's great. Go hit up coffeeandacomic.com, support a local business, and support some indie comics. So man, I blasted through that so fast. Like, I'm like out of breath at this point. I'm so hyped and excited for this episode because we're covering a dope book with the great and welcome to the show, Mr. Alex Batts.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm very hyped to be here. I have to say, you crushed those ad reads. Like, oh, I never, like, ad reads are not easy, honestly, especially if you're just doing them like on the fly and just going through it. So like, mad props, because that's not... It's tougher than it sounds and like seems.
It's always nerve-wracking. I'm always like terrified when I start an episode, because you just have to like, it's kind of like being on a treadmill. You just have to keep on running, because if you stumble, you're just going to be, and you just fuck up. And then like, if I say a shitty joke, I just have to run with the shitty joke.
You just got to plow through. You're like, nope, just keep going. Because like, you can't be like, oh no, I got to restart it. Because then you'll just have to do that like 12 different times.
Yeah.
Then you'll be in your head about it. And you're like, oh no, I got to restart it for like the 18th time. And then you're like, oh no, it's been 45 minutes. Like,
and I don't edit these episodes in depth to be like, well, I mean, and you guys know, I fuck up every creator's name that comes on the show. And I don't mean to. It's just, you ask their creator's name at the beginning of the show when you start hanging out. Just like, how do you say your last name? Just so I know how to say it right. And then you say it to the person a few times, and then you end up talking for like 15-20 minutes, and then by the time you introduce them back on the show, you're just like, fuck dude, your bizarre ass like last name, it's like when they see mine, Blocksdorf. At least that's Blocks and a Dwarf. I have an easy
I heard it on the like on some of the calls. Yeah, I heard Mark say it, and I was like, I think that's like probably spelled how it sounds.
Yeah,
and then I saw 100%. It like one time, and I was like, okay, I was like, cool. Dude, you would be surprised how many people fuck up my last name like routinely.
Would they call you Bates?
Yeah, they call me Bates, and I'm like, where are you? I don't understand. I guess the second T just like throws people off, but like, yeah, I literally like, I don't know if y'all did this, if you had this like in elementary school, but like every like time there was someone's birthday on the announcements in the morning in elementary school, they would like be like, happy birthday, you know, whoever, and they would always fuck up my last name, and I was like, dude, it's not that hard. Like,
do they'll call me Blocks Ford, like they'll just switch the D and the F, like just whew. They just think it's a typo or some shit, but they'll say Blocks Forward. And I'm like, Dwarf is a thing, you know? Like,
that's so weird. Yeah, no, but I get Bates a lot, and I'm like, no, it's just Bats. There's just two of the T's.
And Bats is so much cooler. Like, Not only as like a fucking Batman reference, but then it's like an Avenged Sevenfold reference that you're just like, all right, well, I'll roll with this. Like,
yeah, I'm like, I got this unlock, actually. It's cool. A lot of people won't, like, if people meet me and like know me a little bit before they see my last name and like they find out that I'm a huge Batman fan and like they see that that's my last name on something, like they don't believe me at first.
Yeah.
They're like, is your last name really Batson? I'm like, yeah, it's like the coolest accident, or like
it's too good of a, like, last name, or it sounds fake. Like, it sounds, yeah, like you made I'm it like, up. It's Which is actually, that's why I don't have a Facebook. That's why, like, Apollo kind of has a Facebook page, but, like, I don't use a personal Facebook because they didn't accept my last name. So I had to use my first and middle name. And
so weird.
I even sent a picture of my ID saying, like, Blocksdorf is a real last name. And they're like nah.
You're like, hey, this is me, though. I promise.
Yeah. Like, this is my, like, so fuck Facebook for that, you know. But I use Instagram. So I guess I'm still getting fucked by Facebook somehow, you know.
That's true. Yeah, that's true. Man, they got me. I didn't used to be that like addicted to Instagram, but then they got me with Reels, and like
sucks, dude.
I spend you doom way scroll. Too much time.
All of us doom scroll, especially having a podcast account. You just fucking get stuck on shit, and then you view one thing once and you see it forever. Like, it yeah, will always activate. And I wish somebody would view my shit once and then see my shit forever, though.
Right?
What the fuck I'm is like, up with that? Why aren't I getting more comic book stuff on my feed? It's like everything but that. Like. But anyways, yeah, that's the whole thing. Alex, we were discussing stuff. We became connected because you have a project coming out that we can't really quite announce yet, but we had a secret meeting about. Yeah, we're close to that announcement. Close. And I'm super hyped to like support that. And, you know, we'll rave about it and you'll be on the show about it. But we were talking about that, where we could like how we could help each other out. And we were talking about comics for like another fucking hour and a half in that 2 hour conversation. And
yeah,
brought up a book that like I've owned for years because I got it at Barnes and Noble at this like on a sale where it was like buy one, get like two free or some bullshit. Like they were just clearing indie comics, like Image comic books, the $10 books and everything, you know? And I bought the first three issues of this series, The Wicked, The Divine. Is it The Wicked and The Divine, or is it The Wicked Divine? Like, I've heard four different ways.
Pronounced like The Wicked and The Divine, which is what everyone like says. Cause no one wants to be like The Wicked plus The Divine. Yeah. Like, it sounds weird, you know, even though that's what the logo is. But yeah, and then it's just generally like referred to as Wicdiv for short.
Wicdiv, all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
That's such cool, and there's so many trendy things about this book for them to do Wicdiv. That's so trendy of them.
It's on, at least I think I saw something. Yeah, it's literally on the back of the paperback. It says hashtag Wicdiv at the bottom.
Oh, like, my gosh,
they've really got it on lock.
Holy crap. Yep. Wicdiv.com. Yep. Hashtag Wicdiv. Damn. But I mean, when you look at the creators, Kieran Gillen, he fucking incorporates that shit everywhere. There's always text messages.
Oh, yeah.
I put text messages in scripts now because I've read so much of Kieran's stuff.
Dude,
and he has like a Tumblr account in like a Marvel book. And like, it was like, I think Young Avengers or some shit like that. And he's always done, this one mentions a dead social media account.
which we'll is so funny.
Okay, great. But it's cool how trendy he always is with like, the audience he goes for. You know what I mean? Like, this is definitely a preteen or the teenager account.
I think it's weird too, because when you do stuff like that, you of course like run the risk of it becoming dated. Like what you were just talking about, where like there's a reference to a dead social media, like they reference Vine in some in a couple of these issues, right? Which is so funny. But like, it weirdly, it's done in a way where I don't think that it's like, for lack of a better way to describe it, it's not as much of a, like a cringe dating. Mm-hmm. It's very much a just like, no, this is a product of the time that it came out in, and like an almost endearing way. It's like, no, that just like fits the tone. And like, it was very much what was relevant at the time and like prescient at the time. And that's part of the reason that like it landed so much and was so popular, like when it came out.
And it's easy to understand right away, too. Like, you're not having to figure out the social media platform. You just see it and you just kind of get it. Or
yeah, I think that's probably the thing, is that, like, even though it's very much a like, oh, this must be a reference to, like, whatever, it's not, you're not confused about the reference. Like, mm-hmm. it's done in a way where you're like, okay, I know what he's talking about. Like, even if someone didn't know what Vine is, you're like, oh, I get it.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, you just know it's social media because of, like, how it's presented. I mean, and this is a book, when I read it the first time years ago, man, years ago, I guess right when it first came out in trade paperbacks, it had to have been, I didn't like get it. I really didn't get it. I read it and I was just like, you know, rereading it again years later, it's literally been like 8 years since I've like last picked up this book, and I've had these trades just sitting in my bookshelf knowing I need to get to them. I kind of realized like, okay, right away, like I was like, is this like the first volume? Did I pick up the right one? Because it tosses you into this story so quickly. But literally, as long as you understand the fucking premise of it, and that's on the back, and once you get that, and then you start the fucking book, it all makes sense. And it's all like, there's no proper way just to start this story because of how it begins. And in the back, it says, every 90 years, 12 gods return as young people. They are loved. They are hated. In 2 years, they are all dead. It's happening now. It's happening again. So essentially, the whole fucking premise of this book, to just like get it and understand and just start running, just like I was with those fucking ads right over there, you just hit the ball running with this book and you just can't stop. And once you do that, if you stumble and trip and question shit too much, you'll get lost. But like, just know that these gods take over young people's bodies, and now they're in those bodies, and the people that are in there don't fucking matter anymore, and they're gonna fucking die in 2 years. Like, you fucking hit godhood, and then you're dead. That's it. That's your fucking mark on the world and shit. And once you get that, that's it. That's like,
yeah. And then there's so much that like comes from that, which it's crazy too, because that premise like is deceptively simple. Mm-hmm. Like you said, like once you get that and you like take that at face value, which I also love the line in the first issue where when they're interviewing, I don't know how to say her name. I've never had to say it out loud, but the Shinto goddess, Amy is what I'm going to call her, because they do call her Amy like at one point. Whenever she's being interviewed by Cassandra, and Cassandra's like, yeah, just because you're immortal doesn't mean you live forever. Like, we've all heard the PR line, which like also is such a good PR line, and like is also what they used to like promote the book before it came out, which is just so smart. But yeah, like it's a really simple premise, but it also has so much that it can then like explore from that. It's really crazy. You mentioned the fact that you read this book whenever, like it had to be around whenever it first came out. I didn't actually. So I remember seeing this book on the shelves, because I remember seeing like the cover, these types of covers. Like I remember when this first, like the hardcover came out, I saw it at my shop and I was like, oh, that looks interesting. But like, I didn't end up picking it up. And then I think it was on sale or something on Comixology one time, and I like picked up the first volume or whatever, and I like just plowed through it. And then like the second one was also on sale, so I got that one. And then up until issue 30, the like trades had been out, like whenever I started reading it. Mm-hmm. And so I literally like one weekend just blew through all the trades that were out, and then like read the single issues that I needed to be caught up. And then from like issue 31 to 45, so to the end, like I read that as it released. But like,
nice.
I wasn't on the train from the beginning, which is like crazy to me, because I'm like, oh, I should have, like, I wish I had those 1 through 30 like floppies. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's just one of those things though, where like I started reading and I was like, man, I can't put this down. Like, it's so good.
That's how I felt rereading it. Like once I got like invested to it, like it's so God, he has, it makes me angry how brilliant some of these lines are. Like there's some shit that's in here, and I'll try to point out a few of them. But between him, let me just break down the credits real fast before we jump into it. We have Kieran Gillen as the writer, Jamie McCleave as the artist, Matthew Wilson, colorist, Clayton Clowes, letterist, Hannah Donovan, designer. And the designer is an interesting credit to have, because not every book has a designer. But when you look at like books like this, and like, oh, great example, House of X, Powers of X, that Powers we were just talking 10. About. Yeah. Dude, you were fucking
on Molars.
Yeah, that design work is, I think he won an award or something for that, because it was just
as he should.
yeah, like that designing in a, I'm learning this with the anthology, with the punk rock anthology, the design is so fucking crucial, because it just sells so much of the book. And a great designer, dude, you could just sell the book on that and just get curiosity purely off of that.
I mean, like, that's literally what I was just saying, like, with the, like, this, like, you have the pages like this that are, like, throughout the book, and, like, that's just the way that that's designed is so immediately eye-catching and, like, interesting. Mm-hmm. You're like, what is this? Like, I want to know more about this.
And yeah.
It's just, it's crazy good.
Yeah, and we'll probably point out a couple things the way they did it. Even the covers for the trades and shit, how they came out, fucking brilliant. Chrissy Williams, editor, D. Kuniev as a flatter.
Yeah, I can't remember how it's pronounced. I've heard it like once.
Yeah, and as a flatter. Flatters are basically, they kind of help prep for digital work, I want to say, on like Photoshop. They work with the colorist. I will say that.
Yeah.
I don't know too much about it. We'll probably get someone to talk to us about that at some point. And then we have Nathan Fairbairn as a guest colorist on number 4, pages 1 and 2. So that happens sometimes. You know, you got to pick up work.
What? I did not realize that. I have to go look at this now. What 2 pages were these?
Yeah. Well, page 1 and 2.
Oh, okay. I it's the mural. It's Balls. Which makes so much sense, actually, now that I like see that and think about that. Like, yeah, that it is colored differently than the rest of the art.
Where is page 4?
Because it's the one that's
let me do this fancy
color to look like the like an actual like painting, like a Renaissance painting.
Do this fancy camera trick right here.
Oh yeah, there you go.
So this one right here. Okay.
Yes.
That makes sense. It's
the, yeah, right. Like as soon as I saw it, I was like, oh okay. And then the next one where you get like the full shot of it.
Oh, fucking crazy. Yeah, because it does have that painter's effect. That's interesting. And it's so contrasting
to with the regular colors. With Wilson's regular clothes, yeah, which is so good. There are some things which, like, this book, this issue, or this trade, like, kind of gets into some of it. Like, whenever the gods start fighting, you, like, see it. And also when they go to, like, the underground, kind of how, like, the darkness envelops Laura at one point. But, like, there's some creative, like, visual stuff that they do in this series that I literally don't understand how they pull it off. Like,
it's yeah. Wild. I could totally, and honestly, a lot of that's due to like the way Jamie makes every character so unique and stand out so well. Like Jamie's really great at just defining someone purely off of their appearance.
I love, especially in this good page you're on is a good example of the, like the 2 panels below the like 3, just the difference in body posture and emotion that she shows right there. It's just such incredible character work, and this book is just full of that. Like that's just the book. Like mm-hmm. it's so wild. It's so impressive to see
the expressions on everyone's faces, how like it's wild what Jamie does, and it's so cinematic in a sense. Like you feel everything that they're it kind of adds while you're reading it. It just elevates the experience like completely. Even this one, like you fucking, there's no like word balloon. You can't hear anything she's saying. It's being described through the fucking pages. This is all this caption is describing her voice right now and how fucking like godlike it is. And you don't hear any of it, but you fucking understand it so well just through Jamie's fucking.
It's more about the feeling than like, you can't. I mean, like, obviously the pages are describing it, but like the whole point of the describing it is like, it's not like anything that you've experienced before. Mm-hmm. It's just so, and you can tell, like you see that on the page. I love the way that her eyes look in that bottom, like left panel, the almost like black hole, like rimmed eyes. Or, like,
oh yeah.
It's so good. So I have to ask, like, what did you think about the first issue specific? Cause like, it's probably one of my favorite first issues of all time. I think it's a really, really damn good first issue.
I actually thought the first issue was quite interesting because the way it sets up a lot of this, what the fuck did my camera just do right now? Let me refresh that real fast. There we go. Sorry about that. Because check it out. Like you're kind of introduced to what's going on and you're introduced to Lucifer Lucy. And that's really the one that gets your attention because, you know, it's the David Bowie thing. And you're kind of also like thrust into this whole thing where it's a fan meeting all these like rock star gods that are going on. And the way it's broken up and explained to you so quickly, you kind of develop like 5 different personalities within the first, 10 pages. And then the fucking death happens. Fuck, dude, that coloring right there.
Oh, the coloring is out of this
world. So fucking insane. It kind of like really like, I don't know. It's kind of interesting how it's one of those things you're thrust so fast that if you blink, you're going to miss some shit.
Yeah.
Because you're set up, and this is like, and once again, we return to this. And then we have the dinner scene. The dinner scene is kind of like prepping you about the characters, which is a pretty good setup, letting you know who everyone is years before fucking it actually happens. And it introduces the click. And the click,
which is so good.
Dude, by the end of the fucking issue, the click happens again. And you know, like if you're paying attention to these first three pages, you fucking know what's about to happen.
And especially, I love one of my favorite things about the series, and they use it constantly, is that 1, 2, 3, 4. Is because like because music is such an integral part of the series, also like the music and the rhythm and like that 1, 2, 3, 4 motif just happens all the time, and it's always so satisfying. Like,
damn, you're right. I didn't even notice the 1, 2, 3, 4 how it's presented so often. Like in three pages, we just saw it three times. You know what I mean? Like,
oh, it happens all, and it's Morgan and Baphomet do it in the in the underground whenever they before they start performing, like. And they're yelling back and forth at each other. And then Morrigan starts counting. And in between the count, he's like, don't fucking start counting without me.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Fucking shit. Which is so good.
It's...
Yeah, this, the first issue, like, it's such a smart way to introduce readers into the world. Because like you said, like, you're thrust into it and you get such a quick understanding. But it's because, like, obviously, like, Laura at first is the, in, like, is the self-insert character, right? Like,
she's the fan, yeah.
Yeah, like, she's the fan, she's the one who's, like, telling you about this world, introducing you to it, and, like, she gets, you know, in, immediately, like, thrust into it, and that's kind of how you get there. But, like, it's just such a smart way to do it, and then also, like, segueing to, like, interview is, like, okay, this is a really organic way to, like, essentially exposition dump for the audience, but, like, it doesn't feel like that. It feels, or like I said, organic, but also, like, you get so much character work for everyone throughout that sequence. And the reason that it works so well is because, like, they are all such varied personalities, and you can tell that immediately. Like, you instantly get the, like, you know that Kieran has a very strong understanding of how each of these people are as people. And, like, that just comes through in every line of dialogue. And, like, dude, that art is ridiculous.
Yeah, I fucking love this page. It's and that's the thing about it, is that the documentary style of it doesn't feel like just thrust in, because it's like, if it's a rock, if they're all treated like rock stars and you have this rock star aesthetic and vibe to it, having the documentary crew, that just makes sense. Like,
yeah, like that happens.
And look how many fucking documentaries Kiss has. Like, do they always have a crew around them, you know?
Yeah, it's a constant thing. Oh, the covers are so good.
So good. I think issue 2, I have it in the back, but Chip Zdarsky did a fucking variant cover for that too. Which is fucking Chip. God damn it. Him and Sex Criminals. I think all this was coming out at the same time, and they were all kind of like friends at that point.
Oh, that's funny.
So, and this is the God's name that you're talking about that you hadn't really had to say.
That I do not know how to pronounce.
Amaterasu?
Probably.
Possibly. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I just read it in my head and I'm like, that one.
Like, dude, you know what's fucking crazy? Like, only in comics can you really have moments like what you do in the second panel. Like, you have Lucy screaming in this first one, and then you say, get Anaki, please. And look, it's all the colors just dwindle down into like her telling her in her ear, and then the rest is black and white. Like, that's a solid single moment that like paused in time where like those sounds are kind of like, I would say they're whispered, but they're just like,
oh, you know, yeah, they're it's just such a right, it's such a unique way to draw the attention to it. Also, before you flip pages, you notice anything about the blood splatter and the face on the bottom right?
It does look kind of Watchmen-y, but no, what does it reveal? It
See, remember the end of this volume?
Oh shit.
Yeah, dude, I literally noticed that this read through, which like it also could totally just be me like reading into something that's not there, but like I saw it and I was like,
That's fucking great. And that's one of those things when writers like have time, especially in series like this. Tom King is really good at doing it with DC, but he's very fortunate to be able to do that. When you write out the whole series first and then start putting it, you could start doing those loops. You could start doing that storytelling aspect. You could start preparing. A good outline goes a fucking far way, you know?
Yeah.
Here we go. Dude, first example of a cell phone, issue 2. and doing a Wikipedia search. And I love that they did this because this is everything all of us were going to do right when we heard some of these names. And I was just like, yeah, okay, cool. Thank God. This is good. Give me that. Do that search for me already. Are you like really into like mythology and stuff like that too?
Yeah, I do. So that's one of the reasons I love this series so much. I've always been a huge fan of mythology generally. Like when I was super young, Greek mythology was the main thing. But like the older I've gotten, pretty much all of them interest me because I think there's just a lot of fascinating stuff to do with them. So like the fact that this is like gods from a bunch of different mythologies like kind of thrown into one story and like seeing how they interact and bounce off of each other, and then also like putting them in a modern setting is just like such an interesting thing to do, I think.
Yeah, it's very Neil Gaiman-y, very that's what caught my eye about it right away. I'm a big Neil Gaiman fan.
Dude, absolutely.
And it's also like you realize why they fucking finally put him on Eternals, because he had been writing the Eternals for years.
Yeah. Yeah. it's great. And the more the book goes on too, like there's like more gods that get introduced and you're like, okay, like the way that everything happens is just very you can tell how much forethought was put into just like every element of it.
And Kieran's one of those like super nerdy like people. He plays one of those board games. I don't know what it is.
I know he plays D&D, but
what's the one that fucking Henry Cavill plays? Is it Warhammer? I think it's Warhammer.
Yeah. He plays Warhammer. Yeah, because he's making a Warhammer series.
Yeah, there you go. Fuck God. Yeah, that's deep. That's deep. You know what I mean? Like, I wish I could be that nerdy, to be honest. I just right. That's so hard.
I don't have the time for that.
Here we're gonna visit the god the Morrigan at this point. And it's cool what they're doing with the panels to show you like how dark and how scary these tunnels are and how like impossible and scary it is just to go visit it down here. That abandonment aspect. And then like the lights make that much more of a impact when you're just like in that pitch black too. And they think they're gonna get the Morrigan, but instead
they get Baphomet.
Fucking Baphomet. And it's fucking crazy because like in our apartment, like especially because my roommate, we have a lot of Baphomet shit like everywhere. Like Baphomet is all over our apartment. Yeah. And then we get to this guy and like I fucking hate him. I hate him so much.
He's such a dick.
Yeah, so annoying. But then like you realize that he is the character you're supposed to hate and you're just like, okay, I get it. But yeah. I fucking love vampire shit and he looks like Danzig. So it throws me over still.
It's funny. So this next page that you're about to turn to, that cover, that image of the Morrigan, I have as a tattoo on my right calf.
Oh shit, that's fucking sick. That is.
I would show it, but that's kind of a difficult thing to try to show.
Yeah, to roll up, dude. You know what's cool about that cover? When I was reading it, and I remember reading it the first time, and you just turn that page. Fucking brilliant. You know what I mean? Like,
it's incredible. They do that for. This isn't the only cover that happens for. Like that happens for the next one too.
And if you pay attention to the circles, they start getting filled out more and more, and things just start changing too. Like the Baphomet one had like the fire flames around it. Yeah. And this gets added. So
those like continuously change too based on like what. See, like in that one, you can see there's, I think, two spaces, like two blanks.
Yeah.
I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah. So like.
And then look at like Lucy's behind bars, like, and she's in jail right now. I think that's super fucking cool.
Just like little touches like that are so, so cool. That whole sequence is so funny.
Dude.
Morgan's head like screaming just the most vile shit.
Puns are excellent. Baphomet is excellent. Baphomet is a serious intellectual capable of cultural illusions. T.S. Eliot is an anagram of toilets. This is something that Baphomet knows.
So funny every time.
Yes. I should have wrote down which page it was, but there's a line that I just thought was so fucking insane. It'll come to me right now once we talk more, but dude, this like Dark Phoenix attire and the red hair, fucking brilliant. She kind of reminds me of, it's funny, this comes up in conversation between us again, Crazy Jane from Doom Patrol, the way she's changing her personality so much and is able to shift and they have different powers and whatnot.
Yeah, I really like the different, like, because it's called the, I don't remember if they call it I don't think they call it trifold. They call it some triple Morrigan or something, triple goddess. I don't remember exactly, because she has the three, though, because it's Morrigan, right, yeah. Annie, and then Bad.
I wonder if they say it in the beginning. In fact, that might be where the line was. In fact, you know what, real quick, I think the line I was thinking of was about... Do you remember when they say something about, like, if you get a picture of her?
You're on the pages. Yeah.
This is the shit that pisses me off because it's too fucking good, dude. When they're describing the Morrigan, they're like, if you try to take a photo of her, when you check the shot, 9 times out of 10, you'll see a picture of who you're going to fall in love with at the moment of their death. Like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, bro. It's so metal.
If you're the 1 in 10 who actually gets a photo of her and you try to put the shot online, the like button is replaced with a new one reading doom, and the only woman who's allowed to click it already has.
Like, so good. I love so Morrigan good. So much. She's so dramatic, and it's my favorite thing.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. She's a total goddess. You know what I mean? You're just right. She's dramatic as fuck, and that's what they need to be.
It's so good. Just the ultimate goth. It's so funny.
Yeah, it's so amazing, right? Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Her and Baphomet just, like, constantly make jokes about trying to be, like, more goth than the other, and it's just gold.
And I love, like, the little banter chemistry between them. And there's the 1, 2, 3, 4 again.
Don't start fucking counting without me.
And two gods speaking at once. No one, never seen that. No one has. Who knows? This is going to fuck be. And then I love that pacing right here.
Yeah. So brilliant. So as she's swallowed by, like, the darkness.
That's great panel composition in general.
It's so good. I love, and that, the, like, free fall through the darkness, just, like,
beautiful.
Come on now.
Yeah.
Come on.
And then it's like, you get the fact that they get paid for this page is just, like, the best feeling in the world. You know what I mean? Like, this is so mm-hmm. subtle, but so brilliant. Like,
it's also such a testament, honestly. Like, big shout outs to their editor for, like, mm-hmm. being like, yeah, this is a good, like, to go for that. Cause, like, that's a full page of a comic, you know, that's just black, essentially. Like,
fuck yeah. You know, this is Jamie's fucking magnificent at action sequences. The fact that this bullet's going fucking this way, and then you know where your eyes are going, you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. it's shooting, and then you see the impact, but you see the trail of impact because that's how fast it goes. Your eyes go from here straight to right here. Like, it doesn't restart over here. You're going, yeah, bam, because you're following this direction, and when you zag, you fucking see that, and you see how fast it was going. That's
and it also helps because it's like it's doing the inverse of the page before, where the darkness is receding, and so, like, that helps with your eyeline too. Like, or not. Damn. The page before.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, the two pages before. Yeah, where it's opening up like that. Holy shit, yeah. I think this Fantastic Four fucking... I want to see a Fantastic Four book drawn like this.
This is how those, like, torch. Super... I don't even know how to describe that coloring that he gives it. Because he does that whenever, like, the heads explode, too. That, mm-hmm. like...
It just pops different, right? Like, it's almost... Yeah, I don't know, maybe it's a different, like, palette, or...
It reminds me of, like, old school printing color, you know? Like, they used to have to do it for comics a lot of the time.
Yeah.
Where it's more like, I don't know, my brain wants to say CMYK, but I feel like that's not what that's like means. I am not an artist, so.
I don't, it's funny, I had an artist just message me being like, do you need an RGB or CMYK? And I was like, whatever you would send Mark. And he's like, I'm just going to
That's such a good answer. I don't know.
Yeah, fucking, I'm just going to roll this over. Yeah. And this is crazy because, you know, what's cool is how invested you are. This is the good thing about this book, because you are so fucking distracted with, you know, when you take in a lot of characters, just the Eternals is a great example. Like, the movie wasn't too great, I'm going to say, in my opinion, because it was too many characters at once and it was hard to absorb them all, you know? Yeah. But having this, like, grounding fan that kind of brings you into it and levels with you around all these gods, and kind of focusing also on her, like, even this argument with their parents just kind of reminds you, like, and it brings you back into center, and then you're going back forward with all these gods. Like, it seems to make more sense that way.
Yeah, it, like, Also, can we take a moment to appreciate the fact that, like, the page you just left, the left one, like, the fact that you can clearly make out the seven panels that make up that page. Oh,
without
even any though it's grid? Just, yeah, it's just pure black. Yeah. Like, come on now.
You don't get lost. You don't feel confused. It's just.
No, you're like, I know exactly where to go. Mm-hmm. This makes sense. Which is so good. But yeah, the thing with that, like, especially, I really like that argument right there between Laura and her parents. Cause, like, one,
it's really you don't
hear it.
Yeah.
Which is like part of the point and part of what makes it so, because like it's whatever you are going to put in your head that happened there is so much more powerful than anything Kieran could have put.
Mm-hmm.
And so it, by just talking about the argument and giving Laura's emotional reaction to the argument, as opposed to what she actually says, makes it it's so much more real as a moment for the reader, because then you're like, okay, like I can relate to this, not because of what she said, but because of how she feels, which yep. is what's important.
Exactly. So, like, oh, that's so powerful, dude. That's fucking comics. Like, that's how fucking sick that is. You don't even have to say anything. Like, in a movie, you couldn't really do this because you'd still be speaking over like a voiceover or music you're depending on.
Yeah, you could depend on the music, and like you could cut the movies, obviously, like have done stuff like you can cut the audio, you know, and just have them yelling, but like you lose 9 times out of 10, you're not going to have the narration, right?
Yeah.
That you get, which like really lets you get inside that character's head, because like voiceover narration in movies like, is like real risky.
Yeah, like I'm saying things I don't mean. I regret this already. I regret seeing this. It doesn't stop me. Mm-hmm. It never stops me. I wish they would stop me. Wish they were angrier. I wish they would judge me more. I want this scene to be over. I want this to be over. I want to be out. Like, you're just, and then the pause.
And then you get out.
Yeah.
And then it goes, and it's like, okay, like, we have that, and now she's indulging in, you know, her vices, which is, like, getting super involved mm-hmm. with the gods. I also love this sequence, because it's very creative, and, like, it uses, honestly, sort of the, like, in a sense, the visual language of, like, film, because you're cutting back and forth between, like, because Lucifer and Cassandra are not talking here.
Right.
It's Cassandra and Laura, but because of the way that they've established it, like you're able to essentially have a conversation between Cassandra and Lucifer with the like back and forth, and like that's just it's so smart.
It tripped me out once I read, because you're right, because when you jump into it, unless you're paying attention, if you're not paying mm-hmm. attention to the artwork, it's very easy to just like miss that entire fact, and you kind of get caught up in this whole thing. And even if you do get caught up with this whole conversation, you're taken back out of it. And they're like, oh, fuck, that just happened. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
It's such an efficient way to shorthand be like, well, Laura's just telling her all this stuff. You're just cutting out the middleman immediately, but mm-hmm. like still establishing that the middleman is there. Cause like logistically for the plot, you know, Cassandra's not going to talk to Lucy. So
exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Karen, damn. That shit's fucking magical, dude. That's fucking comics. Like, it's so crazy what he does with this book. And the craftsmanship behind it, he's one of those people that, like, you need to study if you're making comics, because you could just learn so much from how he delivers characters like that. Oh, here's issue 4, the one that we were just mm-hmm. talking about with those the painting being different right here.
Yeah. I love all the, like, the little names that they give each of the... chapters, because it's also not like it's not per issue, because like some issues will have more than one of those.
Yeah,
it's a weird,
they're all fucking kind of clever and shit.
Yeah, they're also funny.
The moral of the
and show. It gives the dates too, which are like important now, and as the series goes on it gets like more and more important, because you get into the like 2 years mm-hmm. you know, which is the whole, like, they're about to start dying.
So does the series as a whole cover more than the first 2 years? Does it do different?
So the main series, the 45, because there's 45 numbered issues.
Yeah.
And then they did 4 one-shots, which were one's 1923, and then 3 other ones are, like, 3 different one-shots that are from different times in the past when the, like, recurrences happened. So, like, one is during, like, the height of the Roman Empire. One, I can't remember. I know one's in France at one point. I can't remember when exactly that one is. And there's another one too. So there's four of those like one shot issues. And then they had a Christmas special and like a funny special, which were just like fun, like one shot things. So the four ones for the past, those cover stuff that happens in the different eras that they've returned before. But the main like 45 sticks with this like cast.
Oh, interesting.
Their journey.
Oh, okay. Cool. I'm fucking hyped for that. That's great. That's a way to stretch out 2 years. That's fucking interesting.
Yeah. And like you get a little bit more info on some of the stuff that's gone down like in the past, besides just in those one shots.
Okay.
Like some stuff happens in this, but like some of the stuff gets some like crazy payoff pretty far, like really far down the line. Like there's some stuff that happens in issue one. I mean, honestly, there's stuff that happens in all five of these issues, but like in issue one and four, actually specifically, there's like a couple, there's like two different moments that get payoff in like issues like 30 and 36 or something.
Oh, like, nice. That's fucking absolutely sick.
It's gnarly.
Brilliant. Like, God damn it. That's fucking great. I can't wait to read more of it. Another fucking thing about Karen is that how he's able to give the what's happening and then like what's going on in her head at the same time. And that makes you feel so awkward, and you feel awkward, as awkward as she feels, you feel that. So you get nervous and you fucking get all excited and shit. Like, and it adds tension while you're reading. And that's so fucking great. Like,
yeah. Are those panels like at the top left page whenever he's like, did you like it? And she's like, be cool.
Exactly.
And
yeah.
She's just like, it's okay.
She's like I would not. Nailed it. I would so hard. Like, and it's just so fucking great.
It's so fun. I love too though the fact that like in that previous scene, like at this point in the story, we've established that like one of the gods is a murderer. Like,
yeah,
well, we know that Lucy obviously killed those other two people, but like the narrative crux of this first volume is like trying to figure out who murdered the judge, and like,
which is such a great crime story to set up, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, it's honestly like with all the stuff that goes on in this series, like the fact that it opens with like a murder mystery.
Yeah.
Essentially, like, and the suspects are these gods is wild. And it's even crazier that the book just gets more bonkers, like, from then out.
Well, dude, like, did you read his Eternal series?
Oh, yeah.
That's the same fucking premise for volume one, is that the god has been murdered and the resurrection machine has been destroyed. And who fucking
did
it?
We gotta figure out who.
And it's just like, you read volume one of this and you're like, oh, yeah, fucking no wonder you wrote Eternals. Like, you just took this idea and put it mainstream, you know?
It's so good, but it's such a compelling thing because you're like, yeah, I want to figure this out. And like, yeah, the scene where Laura literally yells at all of them and it's like, one of you is a killer. Like,
yeah,
you're like, oh shit,
don't
like,
you guys
that's true.
Fucking care. And
you're kind of like, you're like, man, I don't want it to be like any of you. You all seem kind of cool. Like,
yeah, that's fucking, God damn it. I love when he does the fucking phone shit and then you have a fucking old iPod that's all cracked up and shit.
Cracked.
And god damn, now it's actually like a phone that looks like that because of buttons like new and shit. But
I love her eye color changes.
Yeah, it's red now too.
Yeah, gosh. Whenever she's gonna like do magic, essentially her is just pissed. Her eye change is so good. See this one too, like that image of Tara, the first panel on the next page is Tara.
Oh,
like it's the same
so sick
thing essentially.
That shit's so brilliant. That's great. Like, that's great design work too. Working your cover artist into like certain panels and shit.
Yeah.
Oh, good shit. If you exist, you're staring at me. So this is kind of like, I love that the walk away shot of like, she's fucking escaped prison. She could have done it at any point. She just wanted to know what the fuck was happening with the gods and wanted to get intel. And then she was like, all right, fuck this. You guys all fucking suck. I'm gonna go do my shit. And
I love the description of like, I don't whatever, yes. And like a coffee away from
Hyperion Ellington, 1 mile, a coffee and 4 cigarettes away from Holloway Prison. Yeah, that's one
so
of
good.
The best fucking panels. Dude, it pisses me off how good he is. I swear to God, like Kieran's writing is just too clever and smart. That's such a good shot too. That's such a like a superhero power pose right here.
Yeah, it's because like that's the thing is the book is so good. all of the time, and then it turns into gods throwing down with their powers at certain points, and you're like, wow, this looks incredible.
You see,
like,
the click, and you know some shit's gonna happen. Boom. Yeah, it just picks up. And that's the thing, you think a book about like rock star gods, you're kind of thrown off, and it's all teenagery, and it has like cell phones and like, oh, we missed the Vine part, meant to bring that up, but stuff like that, you think it's just like kind of dismissive or young adult. But dude, this is complex shit. Like, they even do some goddamn, what's that called in comics with the dots?
I literally had to look this up not that long ago because I was mentioning it in a review.
I'm spacing it so hard.
I'll get it back.
Yeah, it'll hit us real hard, like,
yeah, at some point.
But yeah, fucking that detail in that, especially in the fires and everything over here, and the action, it's the superhero sequences that you kind of see that for, the action blow-ups and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And then
I also like, it was a way earlier thing, but I love how it's just, again, it's a testament to how good Kieran is at writing, but like the dialogue, how you can hear the tone in the characters' voices because of just their dialogue. Like whenever Lucifer is in court in the first issue, you know, and she's being a smartass and she's like, surely it's up for the court to decide like a causal link between my actions and the thing, you know?
Very theatrical, like, you know?
Yeah, but whenever she's like, sounds like an, I don't know, act of God, and she's like just the way that she says it, like you can hear her saying it because you're like, oh yeah, I know, like I know the inflection that she's using like right here, just because of the way that everything like goes, and it's like, oh, it's so good.
That's the cool part about it too, is that like this is being set up in the sense of like, oh, you want to charge me with this murder? That means you have to declare me a god, and if you're cool, she's with like, that,
all right,
like that's fucking it. So at this point, you know, she's escaped prison. Everyone was saying that she just needs to just sit in prison. And if that's what she does for the next 2 years, fuck it. And then she's like, I'm not going to spend the next fucking, I'm not going to do that. No, there's no fucking way. And if no one's going to come help me, then I'm going to fucking leave. And she leaves. She fucks up a bunch of shit. And there's a big old fight like we just saw. And then it comes all down to, she's just calmed down. She's like, fuck, I fucked up. But you know what? Like, let's go fucking, let's just move on, let's just carry on and whatnot. And she walks outside the door. Dude, the coolest head explosion. This gives me vibes of like Frank Quitely in that sense. Like,
okay, yeah, I can
like,
see that.
Yeah, like his All-Star Superman, Flex Metallo, like weird head shit that he used to do. Yeah.
Yeah.
But bam.
That's also like the striking difference between like that red and her white suit. Mm-hmm. It's like,
and the difference between a god head exploding versus like a human head that we saw back in issue one. You know what I mean? Like that's chunks. That's an explosion. You know, those are bits and pieces. And look at the eyeballs and things like that. And this is like a fucking cosmic entity right there, you know?
Yeah. And then again, the use of the black page with just the small
so
white text.
Good.
Like, that's such a good...
This scene where she's just screaming and you see the blood fucking firing out of her body. And then you just have... I don't remember anything about the next few minutes. I guess I'm grateful for that. That pause that, like, you get a breath. And then you just have the most dramatic sequence. Like, holding a bloody body screaming. Oh,
it's so traumatic.
It's just, it throws you right back in. Fucking just gets you running in the entire thing. And then Morgan doing her crazy Jane shit, changing over.
Yeah. It's and like, that's such a, this is such a wild scene too, because the whole, like, the series is very much set up the fact that like Lucifer, besides Laura, is like the other main character, if you had to pick one, you know, like, out of the pantheon, she's the one that we've spent the most time with, and are like, okay, like, it's gonna be about her and like saving her, you know. But like, nope. She just got absolutely demolished.
That's what trips me out, where I was just like, what the fuck, what happens next? And then I love the mic drop that, what's her name, Anaki of the pantheon,
Anaki, however it's said,
just fucking mic drop, and she's like, enough, leave us to mourn. And then she's doing interviews, and she's fucking so zoned out that like her parents.
She's just she's just in complete shock.
Yeah.
That, like,
covered in blood, her parents drag her away, and she's like, why would, I don't know why they did that, but I guess whatever.
Yeah, and then these pages are so good too, where like it's clear how much this is affecting her, and it's done in such a, like, I don't want to say normal, but like kind of normal way, where it's like
very nonchalant.
Well, yeah, that, yeah, like this is like, that's what happens, like it just is, like this is how she is now, this is how she feels, like because of, you know, what she's experiencing, like, oh. And yeah, then, yeah, the fact that she clicks the cigarette to light, apparently.
It's, yeah.
It's and very then, wild.
Oh, God, it's not over.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking the, great.
Yeah.
Dude, it's very compelling. I think, you know, when I was, here's some cool variants and shit. When I was looking into it the first time, I couldn't grasp it all. And, like, the gods felt kind of, I wouldn't say this is a good, like, very first comic book for someone to pick up, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I mean, it surely could be if you're into some of that stuff, and that's kind of like easier for someone to grasp. This is a Chip Zdarsky one.
Nice. I think it's a good first book to pick up in the, like, artistic sense, because I know that a lot of people get turned off by, like, non-house style art, you know?
I
feel like it's pretty difficult to argue that this is some of the, like, prettiest looking art that you can find in a book.
Dude, yeah. Oof. Fucking great shit. Even the fucking this one, this like ad they had on it. This is a great way just to explain it. And it's weird. I read this before I started reading it and I was like, oh, this all makes sense. And it's basically breaks it down real fast. What? You don't know the story? Every 90 years, 12 gods come back. Good news, bad news, you're one of them. The life you had before is over. Your life is over. 2 years as a pop icon, and then, but the journey, everyone loves you, except the haters. Some haters have machine guns. Can we perform miracles? Oh, please, don't be gullible. Trust me, it's all special effects. And this isn't two seasons of a really good TV show that gets canceled. Oh, gee, isn't that a shame? This is you, D-E-A-D. Who would want that? And that's the Wiccan Divine fucking.
And then I love it. The who would want that? And then it's the picture of Laura who, like,
there you go,
absolutely wants that.
Brilliant. Like, yeah. Laura gives me very Sandman character vibes too. Like, homegirl from the Dollhouse, the main character, spacing her name, but also like some, of what's her name? I'm spacing out the Endless character, that I should fucking know, 'cause we drew her recently.
I'm not sure.
Are you a Sandman fan? I'm curious.
I have not read any Sandman. Whoa. It's one of my big oversights. I can't lie.
Dude, how have you read this shit but not Sandman? You gotta fucking go back. I have one comic book tattoo. I say it so much on the show, but it's of Sandman.
Really?
That's how fucking important it is to me. Yeah, I'll show it to you. Yeah.
I have, if you don't count Star Wars as comic book, have all comic book tattoos.
That's fucking cool.
Well, like, if you exclude Star Wars, because I have the Krakoan flower and then a Batman sleeve and then Morrigan.
Yeah, that was the first thing I noticed about you too. I was like, that fucking bat symbol's sick. But dude, the Wicked and Divine volume one, fucking solid. Like, I wanted to, like, just continue reading into volume two. Like, and for it to be a 50-issue series, that sounds like a fun thing to kind of just, like, go through over time. And, like, it sounds like a good checklist type of book. Like, it's an essential read, I would say. And Karen's writing is just so fluid. It's easy to digest. You could really catch on because you're caught up on that single character. Laura grounds the series so much. And now that you've been grounded and you've been introduced and everything it's kind of been digested over 5 issues. I feel like here on out, it'll ramp up and get bigger because it's like, okay, we started here, ordinary life, and now it'll be easier to understand the rest. And you just had to fucking open those gates a bit.
The rate of escalation in this series is frankly insane.
Yeah.
because it's a weird thing going back, because I've read this series a handful of times now, and I at one point was doing I did a series of articles where I would reread an issue and then write an article about that issue.
Nice.
For this series, I never ended up finishing it, which sucks. I should have, but I got to like issue 30 something, and like it's just crazy, like getting to a certain point in the book and then like going back, and like I would go back and reread issue 1 or whatever, and just seeing like how much is established immediately out of the gate that like is necessary and like builds everything that like, which obviously like, you know, what happens at the beginning is going to build forward, but like just how intricately things are like laid out and like how intelligently like you're brought into the world. And like you said, like you're like, okay, like I'm here and I get it and I see everything, and like now it's time to like go forward and like go into it. Yeah, it's just, it's masterfully done. I have to ask, like, what did you think about Lucifer's decision to like be like, no, I'm not staying here? Because like it's a very interesting thing where like you can kind of see, at least like I think like you can make the argument for like why the Pantheon is like, no, like I mean, we'll be back in 90 years. Like, don't ruin this for everyone. Chill. Like, yeah, we're not supposed to fuck with people that much. Like, you broke the rules. Like, you knew this. Like, I get that you're the devil or whatever, but like, we're trying to like not ruin our time here while we've got it. Like, so what do you think about like that kind of like conflict there?
I think it's almost expected at that point. Like, it just makes sense for Lucifer to be the one that shakes things up and fucks with things a little bit, you know? And you're kind of like curious on like how it's going to happen and what she's going to do and like how far she'll go at that point. And I was just kind of waiting for that bomb to go off at the very beginning, because I mean, the fact that she was that adamant right out of the gate on issue one, you just know that like security walls aren't going to hold her. It's that supervillain type of thing, you know?
Yeah,
like
yeah.
It's just like, you know, whatever, she's just letting them do this and you know, she's more powerful than this. So you're just waiting to see what needs to happen. And it unfolds just like that. You know what I mean? Like it, and it's not to say that it's predictable. It's just like, that's just like the way the storytelling goes. And
it's like to quote, I'm going to quote that podcast you turned me on to, You Are a Storyteller, like where they're like talking about how when you have a clear idea of what your story is and needs to be, everything happens in the way where you're like, well, yeah, it couldn't happen another way.
Yeah,
like exactly. This is what need, like you're like, yeah, this is what needed to happen for the story. Like, of course that like went through, and that, and like you just said, that's not to say that it's predictable or that it's bad. It's just like, yeah, that's what the story needed. So that happened. Like,
yeah, exactly. If you would have put any other god in that position, if you would have put the Morgan, that it just wouldn't make sense. You'd be lost. You wouldn't really understand, because you know what? A lot of these other gods, like nobody's really heard of or is very familiar with. You hear Lucifer. Mm-hmm. You know, like, what fuck. You know what I mean?
I mean, that's literally like, she makes a joke about it in her entrance. She lists off like 8 different names.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, like everyone knows me by a bunch of names.
Yeah, exactly. And that's like the only character you really have that with. So it's like, you're going to give familiarity where familiarity's due, you know? You don't want to confuse readers. You want to keep them captivated and going. And if you're going to shake things up, you're not going to choose some foreign, like, and not to say like any, like in that sense, you know what I mean? But like,
as just like not something that you couldn't be as certain that people will know.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, gods are so like, I get into like a lot of like Hindu and Indian gods because of fucking Grant Morrison and 18 Days and the Invisibles and shit. And like some stuff does seem familiar to me, but it's like, that's because I've done my own research for fucking years over shit like that.
Yeah.
But,
and that's a lot. And that's like a very specific thing. That's like not widely studied, you know, not everyone is just going to know that.
So, yeah, exactly.
It definitely makes sense for Lucifer to be that. Who do you think is the murderer? Like, the murderer?
Man, and see, I suck at fucking crime shit and detective things. That's why I watch a lot of Columbo now. It's because I'm trying to get better at that shit.
instead of doing the important research.
Yeah. And I couldn't really, like, name drop people as, like, much. I would say, if anything, I would maybe even say it's the Morgan to an extent, you know what I mean? Because she seems like a very like tricky character. And if you have multiple personalities, sometimes you don't know what the fuck is going on.
That's a good point. That's a good point.
Just I off can't my say head.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, like, I know.
I don't know. I'm hyped to read more of these. I'm hyped to cover more of them. I want to get through, maybe I could get through these first 3 volumes before I pack up during the move over the next month or so. So that'd be fucking sick. Man, it's so how long have you been reading this series? When did you catch on again? Like the last 3 issues. This came out in 2014. So I probably bought this in 2015 or something.
So this started in June of 2014 and the last issue came out in September of 2019.
Oh, nice.
So
it's still such a new series. That's crazy how much happened.
It's still one of the more recent like big hits, which is crazy, because I remember whenever like all the issues were coming out, and like it was a huge deal. But yeah, like I said, I jumped on grabbing the single issues with number 31. So I read from 31 to 45. So like, I guess like 2 years.
Nice.
So 2017 would be when I started reading it.
You know, this was like during a reign of Image Comics where you had like Deadly Class and Black Science and like
Saga was coming out and regularly.
Like this was out, and like you had these long form series that hit 50 issues or above, and that's not as common, I feel, with a lot of these indie series at this point.
It's also just so wild. I was thinking about it, and like I can't imagine how it is as a creator. And like Kieran and Jamie talked about this some after Wictive wrapped, about like, of course, being eternally like grateful for the support and everything and like all the fans, but like also being very glad to be done with that, because they were like, and I remember one of Kieran's quotes especially was like, yeah, I mean, like I love that book and I love those characters, but it's also something that I dreamed up and was the story that I was very much like needed to tell 6 years ago.
Nice.
Like, you know, like he's like, I'm not the same person that I was 6 years ago, obviously. And so like, not that the story isn't reflective of obviously like how he feels or anything, but I was like, man, I can't imagine like working on a monthly comic for like six years.
Yeah, when you think about like how much has happened in your life in the last six years.
Yeah, like 5-6 years. That's insane. And like I know they took a while off to like, there was a decent amount of time where they no issues were like published, just so Jamie could like because of some of the art that one of the issues required, which like I don't know how he did it, but still, like to be able to do that like essentially monthly for that long is just bonkers. Insane.
And it's an indie book, it's not like one of the big two, which is a different type of pay rate and whatnot too, you know what I mean? I don't know, overall fucking hype that we picked it up, hype that we got to do this book on the show, dude. And I think that was a fucking solid introduction of like your comic book knowledge to like come back on the show and fucking talk comics and shit. You know, we haven't talked comics with like random people in so long. It's fucking, it's kind of refreshing and whatnot. So,
I feel very special. Very grateful to be on the show.
Fuck yeah. Well, we'll get you on soon on another episode. But until then, Alex, we keep on mentioning real fast that, you know, you write articles, you do all this. Like, give us a quick shout out to like what the fuck you do in general.
So you can find me on Twitter at APBatman with 2 T's. My ad is the same on Instagram. You can find my writing. I review comics regularly for CBR. So just check out Comic Book Resources reviews. Good chance some of the comic ones will be mine. Also, if you like Star Wars and you like GIFs, I have a Star Wars GIF account on Twitter. It's at one with the GIF. So that's pretty cool. And yeah, I have a cool project that's going to be announced soon to be on the lookout for people. Brandon mentioned it kind of, you know, vaguely at the beginning. And honestly, by the time this episode goes up, we might even have it out.
Yeah, we'll find
out. Yeah, be announced. So yeah, keep your eyes peeled on my social media and stuff for that, because it's gonna be a very cool thing that I'm looking forward to.
Fuck yeah. Well, dude, thanks for coming on, and thanks for hanging.
Yeah, thanks for having me.